how the stock market did so well in April, given everything. I'm David Brancaccio. We're starting off the month with a downbeat stock market. In early trading, the Dow is down 1.8%, 446 points. The S&P 500 is down 1.9%. The NASDAQ also down 1.9%. But if you pull from macro lens to wider angle, I can tell you that in the now completed month of April, the S&P 500 went up more than 12%. And while it's been a roller coaster, the S&P as we speak is near where it was in late August of just this last year. Christopher Lowe is the chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
I mean, some of this with the stock market is just that interest rates are so low that the stocks start looking sweeter, but also I guess because, you know, corporations have to pay interest rates, and when they're low, that can help their bottom lines.
Oh, that's definitely true. Interest expense is one of the biggest costs of running a business. And as a result, when long-term interest rates are down, it's clearly a positive. And I think, you know, for investors, it's easy to react to those things that are easy to quantify, interest rates being one, massive government stimulus being another. It's a little more difficult to quantify and trade the things that are difficult to pin down, like what is the shape of this economic recovery going to look like?
So it's possible some of the stock market trading is based on the knowns, and people are just kind of pretending the unknowns aren't there.
Well, you know, we've seen this kind of thing before. When economic data prints and it's just outlandishly off the mark. We're expecting a 5% drop in home sales. They come in down 20%. What tends to happen, if you miss by a little bit, the market reacts. If you miss by a lot, there's this sense that maybe the data is just not picking up reality. Well, you know, just about everything we've seen globally has missed by a lot in March and April. Thing is, there is that valid explanation. Most of the world is locked down.
Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial. Thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
We are expecting to see that car and truck sales collapsed to a record low in April. Figures from some of the automakers are due this morning. The sales figures could be worse than that terrible January of 2009 during the depths of the last financial crisis. Here's Marketplace's Jack Stewart.
Analysts' figures show around 625,000 vehicles were sold in April, but the over 50% drop-off isn't as bad as China saw at the height of its COVID-19 lockdown. Eric Lyman, chief industry analyst at TrueCar, says sales dropped 80% there. For some U.S. shoppers, the coronavirus may have actually driven a car purchase.
We know that public transportation is something people are shying away from. We know that the vehicle is an integral part to our American life.
Sales held up better in parts of the country with less strict stay-at-home measures. Michelle Krebs at Auto Trader says people with incomes in the $50,000 to $99,000 range are doing most of the buying, and pickup trucks continue to be popular purchases. People hold on to trucks for up to a decade, she says, so recent incentives have been very popular.
0% financing for 84 months, it works really well with trucks.
Analysts say April's figures should be as low as sales go, and they could recover, even if only modestly, in May. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Amazon stock is down 6% in pre-market trading now on news that it's likely to spend all of its expected current profits, April to June, on its coronavirus response. This includes systems to keep workers safe. The company also posted some surprising first quarter results after sheltering shoppers flocked to that site during the ongoing pandemic shutdowns. Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos told shareholders, quote, "You may want to take a seat." Marketplace's Nova Safo is on the line from California. Nova, what's with this shareholders chill for a bit thing?
Right. So Bezos said that in a written statement released by the company. The context is that he was talking about how much money Amazon is spending in the second quarter, the current one, to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. He warned the company may actually lose money this quarter. Bezos said normally Amazon would expect to make a profit of about $4 billion, but he's planning to spend all of that and perhaps more on new expenses such as greater shipping costs, worker protections like face masks, and higher wages.
Now, in the last quarter, January to March, only a couple of those weeks faced the full impact of pandemic shutdowns, at least in the United States. How did that affect Amazon's bottom line?
Well, here are some numbers, David. Sales were up 26% for the quarter because people immediately, as we know, flocked to Amazon to buy essentials such as food. Its cloud computing business grew 33%. Netflix is a customer. But profit declined 29%. It basically cost a lot more to deliver what customers wanted. Amazon was initially caught by surprise by the surge. And we know, of course, about how it had to prioritize the delivery of essential items. The company has hired 175,000 new employees just in the last couple of months to deal with the influx of customer demand.
Nova, thank you. Very vulnerable in the pandemic crisis, immigrants in the U.S. illegally. Federal relief efforts are not reaching this population. Marketplace's Andy Euler takes a look at what one state is doing to try to help.
Ingrid Vaca isn't a U.S. citizen and doesn't have a green card. She lives in Virginia, and before COVID-19 hit, she was earning about $1,500 a month cleaning houses in the Washington, D.C. area. But the work has dried up, and now she's having to negotiate rent deferrals with her landlord.
My living situation is pretty critical right now. I'm receiving help from my friends and one nonprofit organization that is specifically worried about workers.
Bach is getting $400 a month from the National Domestic Workers Alliance, but says that's nowhere near what she needs to pay the bills. She's getting nothing from the government. Vaca lives with her adult son, who is also out of work and doesn't have legal status.
I don't want to cry anymore, but honestly, the situation is really difficult right now.
Vaca doesn't have a social security number. She only has an individual taxpayer identification number. So even though she paid taxes when she was working, she's not eligible for any public benefits. Angelica Salas is executive director of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights.
At the federal level, what we are pushing is that the ITIN, or the individual taxpayer identification number, and the individuals who pay taxes be included in the stimulus.
That's happening to some extent in California. The state will start taking applications in May for a one-time cash benefit of $500 per adult undocumented person, capped at $1,000 per household.
It is a very humane thing that they're doing in California.
Elaine Kmark is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. She says it makes economic sense to help the most vulnerable to prevent them from sliding deeper into poverty. There's no federal help.
So they're going to have to rely on either states like California acting independently or on the philanthropic community.
The $125 million allocated in California is enough for about 150,000 people there. The state's undocumented population is about 2.2 million. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And 1 week from today, we get the official unemployment rate covering April, which could be, some analysts predict, something like 20 or 25% unemployment. But the head of the Dallas Fed was on Fox Business today saying he thought that could improve to 8 to 10% unemployment by year's end. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.